Paradigm Shifters presents Lady Ashtar tonight. Lady and Lord Ashtar have been guests of Paradigm Shifters off and on for many years, but this time it's been about more than a year and a half, and they've been to Japan a lot, and oh my gosh, Terry Simons brings through some tremendous information as Lady Ashtar and channel of Lord Ashtar. So welcome to the show, Terry. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Oh, thank you, Veronica. It's a thrill to be here. It's always wonderful to have a chance to visit and share the information as it flows through here tonight. It's very wonderful. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful for me. And also, so how are you? And when's the last time you went to Japan? And what is it we want to talk about? The election, the world problems, the radiation thing in Japan, or evolution? How's the evolution going on over there?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by evolution over there, but evolution is doing what it should. You know, Ashtar's saying the action of the ascension upon this planet is really, really important, and that's very much part of the evolution.
That's kind of what I'm referring to, actually.
Right. The activation of the ascension is important because it's raising our vibration and lifting us up into this beautiful presence of light, and that's what we want to do. We want to bring that light, universal presence to Earth, so that we're in a position that we're the leaders, and we're the teachers, and we're the healers, and we're the ones that are going to make a difference. And that's what I'm seeing in Japan. I see that here as well, but as I'm very involved over there, it's very exciting. So
how is it going over there? Is it like a lot of action like we have here? Is it similar? What is it like? Tell us.
Well, Japan is a really interesting place. The people are amazing. They're so kind, generous, gentle, respectful, polite. It's been a real wonderful experience to experience their culture. I've been able to spend a lot of time in some of the sacred sites, the temples, the shrines. And I've also met thousands of wonderful people. And every trip, I spend 3 months there, 3 months at home, back and forth, back and forth. And
wow,
it's just been a phenomenal experience. I was there during the most recent earthquake, the Kumamoto earthquake. And I was in Kochi, which is a bit of a distance away. But I still, it was, I think they said, 6.2 where I was. Seventh floor.
That's fairly high, yes.
So it was pretty exciting. And there were two of them. So it was, you kind of wondered at one point, oh, what are we doing?
So let's talk a bit about the temples and the relationship between those old spiritual centers and the ascension process.
I've been spending quite a bit of time when I'm there doing workshops, 1-2-3 day workshops, and I go to some of the different sacred sites to do that. It's really been quite a phenomenal experience to see these beautiful, old buildings that are still, the people revere them. They're so sacred. You see people going in and out all the time for their prayers and they're asking to be blessed on so many levels. So they're carrying on the ancient ways, while at the same time, there is a modern sense about what's going on, and they're bringing the contemporary in. You don't see it so much in the temples and shrines. Temples are Buddhist, shrines are Shinto.
Okay.
You don't see the contemporary as much. In these sacred lands, they tend to keep them, I would say, more in tradition. I was able to witness a traditional Shinto wedding this last time, and it's just magnificent.
Really?
How they dress in their kimonos, and the woman is in white to include a white hood that completely encases her so that all you see is her face. The man is in a traditional kimono style for the man, and it was really beautiful. So that was quite an honor. And yet they, in the weddings, they still, they'll go and have their Western style wedding. There's lots and lots of bridal wedding areas that they can go on a contemporary level. So they've really blended it. As far as Ascension, I think that all of us tend to go back to what would be traditional or what we're comfortable with to reach the universe, to reach God and all that it stands for, as we're looking at opportunities to say our prayers, to look for advice, to find the guidance. And it's really phenomenal. It's amazing. One of the temples I got to visit this time was Koyasan. And in Koya, on there's a temple there where we stayed the night, and I was able to do a workshop in the temple, which was quite an honor. But we were invited to go into the basement, and in the basement there's an actual relic, and it is a piece of the bone of Buddha. And not many people get to see it, and they took us down so that we could see. And they say it's one of 10, little small. It's about the size of a large grain of rice. But we were able to see this amazing artifact that was quite phenomenal.
Wow.
So there's still that very old and ancient way that they hold very close to their heart. And at the same time, they're very contemporary. A city like Tokyo, even with the Meijin Shrine, which is one of the major shrines in Tokyo or in all of Japan. And the people go and they're in there. Very contemporary Western styles, and yet they'll go and hold on to the sacred nature of their philosophies and religions. It's really beautiful to watch, and I think that's a part of the ascension. I think in the state of ascension, it's about going to a place where we're blending today with that sacred energy, with the honor and space of recognizing that we are a part of something bigger and greater, and blending that together and doing it respectfully and looking at all things as a part of God's presence or the universe. I think that's really, really beautiful, and I think it's something that we can learn from.
Do they have many of their own channels?
They have, yes, they do. They're very spiritual. And oh, I don't know, sometime past during that of the first emperor, it was determined that there would be no religion in Japan.
Oh,
So
wow.
they don't consider it religion. You might refer to it as a philosophy, and there's talk about Buddhism, and there's talk about Shintoism, Christianity, Judaism, and all the other religions, the Muslim religion. It's all there. But they don't go about saying too often, you'll hear it once in a while, I'm Buddhist or I'm Shinto. They might say that we're going to the shrine for prayer. And so there's not that sense of the religious conflict. So spirituality fits very, very nicely. They do have their own channels. There's many that channel on a high level. I'll be channeling with one of those that are quite highly respected, if not the most respected, in Japan at Mount Shasta on the 26th of this month. That's very exciting. And I've channeled with her before in Japan, and we've co-authored a book. So there's a lot of highly spiritual people that are teaching everything from Mayan calendar to astrology to color therapy, vibrational work. They work with just so many different methodologies that I'm sure is here. I don't get out into this world here in the US quite so much, though I welcome it if anybody's interested.
Do the people, for example, if they're channeling, if other people who are Japanese are channeling, will they do it if they're normally involved in the Shinto philosophical organization, or is it a separate thing? Is metaphysics a separate thing?
I wouldn't say it's separate. I don't feel the sense of separateness as much as I sense the unity of all spirituality.
Okay, and that's oneness, isn't it?
It is oneness. And that's what we're all striving for, part of the ascension. And I think it's time that we look at the re and recognize that our beliefs don't have to be a part of our separateness. They can be a part of the oneness. And that's very important. Mm-hmm.
So when I think of Lord Ashtar, I want to ask a lot about what sort of teachings are coming through these days as well. But he there must be an affinity on his spirit drives for Japan, the fact that you've been so carefully set in their consciousness or their culture.
Ashtar says that Japan was the original Lemuria.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And also Hawaii. Hawaii is a part of it. And so when Lemuria sunk, Japan rose. And so he says that Japan, in fact, is a resurrection of Lemuria. That's part of why he's going there. He also says it's the beginning of peace. It's the beginning of a land, a world of peace because of their natural, ideology toward their reserved nature, being polite, respectful, etc. They aren't allowed to own guns. I don't know whether that's good or bad. But they don't believe that violence is the way. And they find themselves working to work together. And it isn't to say that there isn't trouble spots here and there. Of course there is. It's all about being in this human world.
But a lot of the Asian cultures are known for being in a more of a unified perspective, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And working toward, within their own cultures, working toward the idea of peace, being peaceful with one another, working toward creating together. They really work together to create a society that functions within itself. And I think that's really, really important. And Ashtar is saying that they are the examples. And if we will watch them, we will see that their example, meaning the Japanese, their example of a peaceful way of living. And again, I want to say that, you know, it's not all perfect, but their peaceful way of living is truly an example. And recognizing that when there is something like the Kumamoto earthquake, or what they're calling the Great Earthquake, and that was 3/11 with Fukushima, they came together, and strangers opened their homes to strangers to see to it they had water and could bathe. And the emperor went out on his knees on cardboard to speak to the people. And it really shows that there's a kind of cohesiveness. It's almost like a family rather than a country. And it's really quite amazing. And Ashtar says one of the reasons that I've been called there, that we've been called there, would be the star seeds, and how the star seeds are going to be the beginning of the future. They're the ones that are going to help to bring this planet back into balance. And there's many, many star seeds that have been born in Japan and around the world as well. But there's high percentage there that are ready to go to work. And that is to mean to balance Earth, to balance this planet, to purify the land, purify the waters, to help the animals and mankind.
And how does he define star seeds? Is that do you have a definition for it?
A star seed, he says that long ago, he placed the seed of the star of Ashtar into each of these people. Each of these spirits. And not everyone is a star seed. Some are the helpers, some are the guides, some are the collectors. There's many different components to being part of his organization, I guess I'll say. But he says that star seeds are the ones that are going to be here to regenerate the utopia. And he says, Earth is a utopia, though we'll find life on many planets. It won't be life like Earth. There may be amoebas, there may be bacteria, but he says there is no planet like Earth. And that we need to recognize that what we have here is utopic, and the kind of lives that we live, the kind of opportunities that exist upon Earth is like no other place, and it needs to be watched over. We're its guardians. We're the guardians to Earth. And the star seeds are here as a part of that project to assist in I want to say regenerating the utopia that Earth is.
You're a star seed, are you not?
Actually, I am not. I am his channel, and as his channel, I'm kind of, and I hesitate with this, but he's telling me to say it, the mom to them all.
Well, so how does a person like me, or like people listening to this show today, how do we decide if we're star seeds?
Well, first of all, you would be inclined to ask that question. Thank you very much. And then by coming before him, he will ignite that star seed. A lot of times, if you're reading about them or you're hearing about them, if you get that little palpitation in the heart, the rapid heartbeat, or just kind of well up with emotion, often that is an indication that you are a star seed. And like I said, people that are curious about it tend to find themselves as that. Ashtar will initiate, or what does he call it? Ignite the star seed. He has a little story he tells that goes with it, and how they became star seeds. And then,
is it a choice? Are we appointed it, or what?
It's a choice. Mm-hmm. Always. Yes, he says, I won't tell you what to do. It's your choice. You live here on Earth. And even if you were awakened as the star seed, you don't have to do anything different. In many cases, it's really just about letting your light shine. He says he awakens the star of Ashtar. And by doing that, he says there's a million points of light, and each ray and each spark will be the opportunity to assist Earth into its utopic state. And so all you have to do is stand in your truth and walk and let that light, let that beautiful star shine so brilliantly before you, around you, and let that energy flow into Earth. And then the rest will just happen.
So the world is looking like it's in a very tormented or dynamic ferment at this point, does it not?
There's a lot of chaos, and Ashtar will address the chaos. There's no question. And yet he'll say, but if you look at the communities, even in the areas of chaos, if you look in the communities within the homes, there's a lot of love, a lot of families that are trying to live in love within their family unit. There's a lot of people, innocent people, that are being affected by those that are trying to take control. Mm-hmm. And he says it's control and greed that leads people into these very chaotic situations, and they don't realize that through their desire to live according to their beliefs, they are taking freedom and beliefs away from others.
So the question is sometimes whether or not the number of those are going to be balanced by the number of star seeds, for example. You know, the desire for harmony, you know, there's been so much about the election, the desire for harmony and the desire for looking after people and treating each other kindly has been expressed over and over, but it's been stomped down by the controls, the powers that be. And I just wonder if he has anything to say about that.
Oh, he'll talk a lot about it.
Are you able to bring him through, or is that not a fair question?
Oh, of course I can.
Yeah.
Give me just a moment and I'll bring him in.
I would really like to hear. I believe we all need to know. And I think about Japan and I go, the Asian communities have often had a community, a oneness consciousness, and we really haven't. I just wonder how it's going to happen.
All right, let's bring him in and see how he addresses that, okay?
Thank you,
Okay,
Ashtar.
give me just a moment.
All
I'm
right.
going to take a deep breath and he'll come in. Wait just a moment now.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, 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 oh. Well, 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 my little one. A beautiful blessing it is for you.
Thank you. How wonderful to hear from you again.
It is a beautiful honor to be here with you and your guests for the purpose of sharing such wisdom and truth, opening doors of the heart, and seeing how it is that through that of the presence of light, the universal presence to bring this beautiful sense of love, as you were defining oneness, into that of a presence of humanity.
It's possible, is it?
It is possible, and it will happen. It will happen. You see, on Earth, Earth is in a space where they're preparing for the fifth dimensional ascension. And Earth is, humanity is going through their own personal ascension. Each one of you is an individual growing into your spiritually enlightened states. It will happen. All of you will. There's a lot of concern about the chaos upon Earth, and the chaos is such that, well, it is. But it is also important to know that where there is light, darkness cannot exist. And that will be true throughout the Earth. And it will be true in a way that Earth will rise up and become that of a great, great planet of light. A oneness will exist, and there will not be separation. Communities will live and thrive. Families, countries, borders will no longer exist. And there will come a time where it is that through this beautiful sense of oneness, universal presence, it will bring about that of great opportunities for many to live in their own beautiful essences of light. It will happen. It's going to take time, but it will happen.
And what kind of time? Is it going to be centuries and centuries?
Well, it is that what you would say. Earth is currently in a position within Aquarius, your constellation, that puts her in a place where she is now in feminine energy. Prior to this, she was in a Pisces position, which was masculine. So she's, and that happened on the December 21, 2012, where she went direct in the constellation of Aquarius. Having said all that, that means that the energy that is surrounding Earth now is feminine, very nurturing, very beautifully placed in an opportunity to bring nurturers forward. Through this will come the opportunity where humanity will begin to nurture each other rather than create this destruction. But there's always what you would say, the opportunity for a bully in the playground, and that's kind of what's going on right now. Although take them seriously, you will, but it is important to recognize that, well, they are in their own chaotic energy. So having said that, yes, the ascension of Earth will take place. It will take place during this period of time that Earth sits within the Aquarian constellation. It could be as many as 2,000 years, although I see it coming much quicker. As I said, it could be, but I see it coming much, much quicker.
Can beings like you, Lord Ashtar, can you prompt it and make it faster since you can ignite star seeds?
Yes, that would be my intention. I'm bringing in much energy, and that of the channel that my little one is as a trans channel, she can actually let go of her physical form so that I can be in this form and I can do the work and I can be present. And all the energy that I present upon this planet, I spread that like a blanket of light all over Earth. And as it is that every moment that she will allow that my essence will become her beingness, then it is that she can allow for this presence to become an energetic vibration. So as it is that those of you that are star seeds and you are willing to play the role of an awakened star seed, you are in a beautiful time and space where you will be in the process by simply being. Your vibration will be lifted. You'll be in a place where you will find that every footprint you make, a golden footprint of light, and you will place upon this planet high, high vibration. And the more you do toward that of your own spiritual growth, the more that vibration will increase. The star seeds are very important. I'm eager to meet and present to all of those that are the beautiful ignition of light.
Well, am I one?
Of course, my little one. Blessings it is for you.
I'm also wondering, thank you so much. I am also wondering about, for example, the drama of the U.S. election. Is that not a kind of dynamic craziness that could shoot us through and change systems rapidly?
Oh, yes. It will change because the two candidates that are present, both of them stand for great change. Their change will come in a different fashion. They're not similar in their choices, but they're similar in that they know that your country needs a shift in its political movement. There's what is called a group of spirits that are coming in known as indigos. The indigos are the ones, the indigo children, they're the ones that are going to change your planet. They look at education and the children that are being born, going through the educational system, they're finding that they already know it. They, no matter what the teacher teaches, they already know it. They seem like they're very wise, yes. And many of you know them.
Yes, so, indeed.
Yes. And so they look upon the education system and they don't understand why it is so controlled as it would be in the industrial age. They want to change it. They want to make it more individualized. They want it structured more for the purpose of each human. They don't want it to be so, industrialized. And so having said that, they will change and your education system will change, as will the judicial system, the political system, the medical systems. These systems are going to change and the indigos are very much a part of it.
And what about the food structure, Monsanto and this poison they're feeding us?
Well, yes, that's true. You're going to find that the GMOs are going to go back to something that's a bit more typical of what would be, you might say, the heirloom seeds. The chemicals that you're placing up on the ground are going to be transformed. I won't say that you will go all organic in the future, though most of you will. You will find yourselves looking for that of the more pure state of produce, animals, etc. You will go back in time in regards to that. One of the problems that takes place by picking up your heirlooms and such, going back to a natural feeding process, free range, you say. One of the problems with that is you have such a high population that in order to feed that population, you need seeds and you need to be able to produce through the GMO, you need to be able to produce at a high level on a small piece of land. So the scientists are working with ways in which to create a substance that isn't so genetically
poison
destroyed. Yes, you're right. And so it's important. And you look at all the different things that people are talking about, from that of your gluten to, what would it be, peanuts. You didn't hear about peanut allergies years ago. You didn't hear about gluten allergies years ago. Suddenly it's become a great, great significance. And many people are talking about it. Many people are finding they're being affected by it.
Yes. And it has a lot to do with how it's been GMO'd, right?
Well, it has a lot to do with the production and how they're producing it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so when you see that something like a peanut is being roasted in oil and all the things that they do to it, it's no longer the raw peanut it was. And when you see the gluten and you see that the GMOs of the wheat and other grains that are presenting itself, and the gluten can't be digest properly. Your body wasn't designed for this. And even though your scientists will say that the body can digest it, the body doesn't. Not the way that they suggest it does, because your body wasn't designed to digest chemical. Your body was designed to digest food. And so even though some of it is excreted, some of it kind of hangs around. And that's part of what's causing some of the destruction to the cells of the physical form.
With all the cancer and so on. Also, the mental health is really terrible these days, too. And many people have said the children will outlive our children by quite a bit the way it's going. Do you agree with that, or do you think we'll turn it around before that happens?
I don't see it's going to be necessarily that you will all outlive your children. I don't see that. I do see that through that of medical advancement, you'll find that the children will live very long lives. But depression has become very prominent in children. You have other situations that just, it seems that many are talking about that of autism as being at a much, much higher rate than it once was. And the list goes on. So there's a lot of things that are.
And even obesity, people are getting very chubby, very fast and don't know how to stop it.
And that's true. Part of that is the GMO. Part of that is the chemical. And part of it is the oversized portions that seem to be considered a normal portion.
It's just a really interesting time, because the way you're talking about the earth becoming, I kind of want to believe that so much, but it's so life and death. Like, look at the states of the air, for example, and the earth and the global warming. What about that?
Earth is in a cycle. When you look at Earth and you look at history, you'll see that there is a cycle. You went through an ice age, you went through the hot ages, you went through these different cycles. And part of what you're calling this transformation of the greenhouse effect and all that, part of that is truly a cycle. The other part of it is that you have so many emissions that you are eliminating, or not eliminating, producing and putting into your atmosphere. You are in a time and space where you're creating this blanket that's creating a shift in your atmosphere, causing a heating of your planet. So, yes, you are warming. The globe is warming. There's no question. The weather patterns are changing.
They're crazy. And I suppose they are in Japan as well, right?
Well, they're all over the world. It isn't any particular place. It's a world consciousness that needs to take place.
Right.
And when you take a country such as China, with some of the worst pollutants in the world, polluted air, and then you take an area, let's just say Tibet, where the air is still yet pure, it really is a balance. But the entire earth is being affected by the activity of man. And it's something that needs to be considered and taken into factual behavior so that it can be addressed. And I will say that on many levels, in that most of you think of the automobiles when you think about emissions, although it comes from everything from aerosols to the plants that place all the toxic smoke in the air, you show me that there's a lot of activities that need to be addressed in terms of creating air that, one, is breathable, and two, allows the atmosphere to function in its proper way to bring to Earth a proper level of protection. Again, remember, Earth is in a cycle, and this cycle will shift.
Oh, that's really good news. Yes, I had not read this, but someone said the other day that the ozone hole in the atmosphere is closing up very nicely. So that's pretty exciting.
Yes. Yeah. And that's going to help with the global warming. It is closing. You've become more conscious about it. You're beginning to recognize that you do need to take care of not just the ground you walk on, but your air and your atmosphere. And
well, so tell me this. How we think also helps the atmosphere, does it not?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sort of chuckling and going, wow, we're thinking our way into it, maybe.
Well, and that's true. Your thoughts are powerful. Your brains are far more powerful than you know. I often say that prayer is answered. Prayer is powerful. Use prayer, because when you are in a state of prayer, you're not only talking to us, those of us in the universe and that of spiritual guidance, but you're also putting into your brain a thought pattern, intention, and affirmation. And placing that thought pattern in the brain places out brain waves, these waves that float out into the atmosphere, and they will transform. If you bring a consciousness together that is a consciousness that is wishing to transform the air, the land, the people, a consciousness that transforms into a positive planet, that group of people create change. As soon as you heard about the ozone being a problem, many of you started thinking about how do we heal it? How do we fix it? How do we transform this?
Right.
And it's changing. Now, granted, some of the effects that your political system, the laws that have been placed, and all the et ceteras that go with that of controlling humanity, that has helped greatly. But that too is a part of the thought process, because if it is that you think something, it creates. How many times have you thought you wanted chocolate cake and something was presented to you?
Especially if you're on a diet,
Oh yes,
right?
that's what you all are looking for, that something luscious that maybe perhaps you shouldn't normally have. You enjoy it completely. So your thought patterns absolutely create reality. I talk about the process of manifestation and how do you manifest. I talk about the process of affirmation and that affirmations are powerful. I talk about how it is that through the thought process you create whatever it is you wish, and you will create it. The key to that is so many times it is that you have wishes, dreams, desires, and you change it so rapidly, so often, it's very hard for us to keep up with you. But the idea of affirming that Earth becomes a healthy planet that lives in peace, that's something that can be consciously done on a regular basis, and that's good.
I love that. My guides have always told me too that in the most dire countries or sociological experiences, there are as many people proportionately that are growing into greater consciousness
Yes.
as there are here, where some of our, some of it's easier. What do you think about consciousness and how does it grow through us?
Consciousness as in universal consciousness, or consciousness as in your brain power?
Either or both. Because I was just thinking as you said something, I thought, well, we can't wait for heroes and we can't wait for great masters to show up. We have to each embody it, don't we?
Well, you have to become the masters.
Exactly. So
And
can you talk a
that's
bit
very
about that?
key. Yes, that's very, very key. As each one of you is growing through your own ascension process, and you are becoming closer and closer to your own spiritual enlightenment, it's really important, because that enlightenment will draw inner peace. Through inner peace will draw peace into the world. But as each one of you is becoming a master that will assist, there are many gurus and many great saints, teachers, masters that have walked upon this planet, and they will return. However, in the absence of them, it's important that each one of you take a role as your own master. And I don't mean master as in to control a group of people. I mean that you take your own wisdom, you understand how it is that you can affect the reality of your world. What is it that you can do? How can you take a role in creating a planet that will be functioning in peace, in love? And you're going to be in a space that, as you work through that kind of consciousness, your own mastery, you will be in a position that you're going to be able to do great things. You're powerful as a human. You are extremely powerful. If you would allow, many of you say we have all this brain, but we use such a small percentage of it. I would agree. Well, what are you doing with the rest of it? The rest of your brain is being used for that of the manifestation of the master you are. It's a subconscious, but it's there. And when you recognize that each one of you has the potential to become great masters, spiritual, physical, the kind of mastery that will open up the massive doors to the universe. It's so powerful. And if it is that you would allow yourself to be in a space to recognize that you have that within you. And I'm not talking about controlling people. I'm talking about being in a place where you recognize that you and the source, that it is to you, whether it is called the source, the great central sun, the universe, God, whatever it is you wish to call it, it is all one and the same. And that one and the same is that you are connected to the higher power. And if you recognize that you don't have antennas, you have a brain. You don't have the energy that's emitted out through some great gurus talking. Although all of you need to have teachers in your life because, well, that's how you learn. But that's on the physical level. Mm-hmm. If you would go within, whether you use yoga or meditation or prayer time, or you need to go within and listen to the inner guidance. It's powerful. Well, you got me on a bit of a soapbox there.
I love that. I love that. You're really inspiring us all. But I'm also thinking about things as simple as, like, your speaking is energizing a lot of us. Can you also talk about energy and fossil fuels and so on, and talk about the evolution or the consciousness being applied to those around the world? Do you see that changing and happening soon?
Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to have to happen. Your consciousness will have, because it is that, and I won't go so far as to say you're depleting, as in it's emptying, but the volume of resources like oil and natural gas will be at some point depleted. You must go to a more, if you'll allow me to go to this direction, green energy. You must begin to think about using the sun. And although there is a footprint to that as well, meaning a destructive footprint, but it is a constant and it can continue. Wind, water, solar, use your ocean, the waves and the swells as they move. You can generate all kinds of electricity. You have the ability to harness the radical electricity that's just floating around in your air. And there's a lot of it. You have the potential to collect that. That's not yet been fully determined, but it's there. And you will have to do that. The consciousness toward that of the oil, the natural gas, the consciousness toward that is shifting. And as it is with that of what you would say, the emissions. And so as you're looking at the greenhouse effect and you're looking at controlling the emissions that are being distributed through that of the motors, that engines that require such high potency fuel, your consciousness is shifting it simply because you're saying, wait a minute, we're destroying this planet. We're destroying the atmosphere. We need to stop and think about what we're doing. And that's because so many of you have been thinking, let's start looking at other ways, other resources, other methods by which it is that can be used to produce the way of life that has become common and better that life. So your consciousness, and again, going back to the power of the brain, your consciousness and the power of the brain, you are putting all that vibration, all that thought. All thought has vibration. The voice has vibration. When you put those vibrations out, it will bounce back. And those that the scientists that have the ability or those that are very inventive have the potential of creating some quite phenomenal, fantastic opportunities to develop energy that will not deplete Earth. And that's because your consciousness is shifting.
So it proliferates, right?
It does, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of exciting. And so we can repair the damage we've done or See, when you, okay, so then I'm thinking, all right, then Mother Earth has her consciousness as well, and she can be reformatting her own way of receiving some of this toxicity, can she not?
Oh, absolutely. And she will. Your Earth is very, Earth has all of the potential to regenerate. She will. Man needs to give her a chance.
Okay.
She's on a vibrational level. You know, many in your world will say, well, what if man destroys her? Well,
Exactly.
the reality is she is a planet, a rock, you say three rocks from the sun. That goes around and around your sun, and a moon that goes around and around it. That's not going to change. The livability will change. And so, as you're becoming more and more conscious in the care of Earth and in the consumption that you choose, because your voice is in your buying power. Are you going to buy hybrid? Are you going to buy electric cars? Are you going to look at the alternatives for fuel? Are you going to look at natural food? Are you going to look at the way it's being produced, monitored, and presented to you, et cetera, et cetera? Your vote, the way you change, the way things are done, is your buying power. And what is it that you choose to buy for that of the purpose of creating a better planet? And it's really that simple. But going back to your comment about what do we do, and will Earth survive? And Earth is going to survive, and she will heal herself.
Yeah,
And you can
good.
see it over and over and over. She will heal herself. Some of the plants and animals, they may go extinct. That's a very sad thing because each one has a place in the ecosystem. And they don't come back. Once they're gone, they're gone. You are not going to recreate the dinosaurs. It won't happen. You might have the DNA, you might have the ability to do some kind of interesting cloning, but they won't survive. Earth isn't prepared for that. But Earth is a more evolved state now. And Earth is in a position that it's ready to present itself on a higher level, a higher vibration, a higher presence, where it is that man and those that are of higher vibrational qualities are impressing Earth in a strong healing presence. There are many groups that gather together in great healing circles. There are many that gather together for the purpose of presenting within their own group that purpose of uniting, but that impresses into Earth that vibration. She's powerful. She will survive. And if man will help her, she will heal much quicker.
Wonderful. What about what do you think of the internet? What do you think of the internet?
It's very valuable. It has a lot of potential. It has a lot of, it's very antiquated as it would be within my world, but it's
Is that because you can use telepathy all the time?
yes, we don't need it. But let me say this, that the internet, the key to the internet is it's filled with information. It has volumes and volumes of wonderful information. Humanity's hungry for it. That's a good thing. Scientists can do great, great research and scientific activities. Through the internet, you can talk on opposite sides of the world and receive information immediately.
In a
Even,
minute, yes.
yes, and in less, in a nanosecond, in some cases.
Right.
You have such huge potential with it. The problem is those that are behaving, I want to say, irresponsibly, and they're attacking one another, whether it's children attacking each other through social intercourse upon that of the internet, or whether it's those that are part of the kickoff.
Greedy, greedy.
Well, then you've got the greed. So there's a lot of potential for destruction with the internet. But to say the internet is bad, that's not true. It's humanity's use of it. And their need for greed and control, the ego has gone from a place of survival to the place of greed and control. And control is a part of greed. And is humanity understands that's about the collective consciousness, meaning that of the consciousness of each human as a collection, rather than the collective consciousness of that of the ascended masters and those of the highest realm, but using it in terms of humans. It's when humans understand that if you gather together, and many of you already know this, when you gather together and you create a purpose of a higher vibration, a purpose of wisdom, a purpose of healing the planet, of awakening the lost souls, the lost spirits in the earth's crust and helping them find their way, finding opportunities to heal areas of cities that are in such huge poverty and homelessness.
It's terrible. And the homeless situation is heartbreaking.
Using that consciousness to feed the children that are hungry, to help those that the abusers, so there's no longer abuse. It's your consciousness needs to go toward the problem and correct the problem. You're all focusing on symptoms. And if you go to the problem, and it's true with everything that you as humans do, you
So the problem is the system, is it not, for people who are unconscious that are running things and want security through ownership. Isn't that the problem?
Well, it's part of it, the system, but really the problem is the individual. The problem exists within each of you. If you are focused on, let's use in the American terms, your welfare system.
Right.
If you're focused on the welfare system, the government to support you, then the government has to do something. That's a part of the system. But as a human, if you say, I'm going to support myself, I'm going to take care of myself, I'm going to work, I'm going to feed myself, my children, my family, etc. It's the person that needs to stop and think, what's my role in this?
Right.
Am I going to be a part of the suction, or am I going to, or the pull, or am I going to be a part of the push? What am I going to do? And so when you look at the government, and the government saying we have to help our people, we have to assist them, whether it's the socialized medical system or whether it's the governmental rules over education, the key is not the system. The key is an individual. Each individual has a right. Each individual has a decision. And inside your home and within yourself in your own personal quiet time, you make decisions every day. Those choices become a part of your life structure. And if that choice is to live on welfare, then that's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. If that choice is to be responsible for yourself, then that's what you're going to do. And so part of it is the individual. So I can't say it's simply the system, but yes, the symptom.
I don't think it's simply the system either, except that there's so much stress on people just trying to get through. I don't know if it's like that in Japan, but I suspect so.
Oh, yes. It's that way all over the world.
So people don't always feel like they're making choices, do they?
Well, they don't feel like it, but the key is they are, because a choice to not choose is a choice.
Like, you mean to raise up your hands and fall on the floor? You mean that won't
That's work? Exactly correct.
I think this is an amazing time on the planet, and I keep feeling like it's it's scary, it's tumultuous, and it's really magical all at once. And I'm watching for those light beacons to keep popping up, because they do, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. It's very, very powerful, quite potent, and you're going to see more and more of it as those that are transforming this planet through their spiritual teachings and growth, and as each human becomes more and more aware of their spirituality, whether you call it religion, philosophy, or spirituality, we don't care. Whether you call us God or any of the ascended masters from Sanat Kumara and Kazumi to Jesus and Buddha, call on us. We're here. Allow your brain to be the vibration of what you want to create, in that of the greatness and the goodness, in that of the representation of taking care of the planet and humanity and all living things. Because if you come into a consciousness of recognizing your individuality is what makes you beautiful. It shouldn't separate you. It should be a part of your beauty. And that's one of the things that's happening in your planet, is that you're seeing the beauty of your individuality, whether it's the color of the skin or the religion you choose or the school you go to, the family you will raise. It doesn't matter.
Mm.
That individuality is what makes you so beautiful.
So what do you think about our purpose then, our soul purpose? That does have a lot of like the root in individuality, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And in that individuality, there's oneness. And so when you recognize there is oneness in it, and you recognize that it is the unification of all, which is why so many of you are present on the earth right now, because you're about the unification, you're about oneness, about bringing the community of man together at peace. And then there's that faction, because where there's light, there's dark. It is duality, but darkness cannot exist in the light.
Mm.
Aha.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking at your individuality as a blessing and growing from one another, that is so powerful. Instead of seeing that individuality as a way to segregate, a way to discriminate, a way to place you in the boxes. Let's open up the box. Let's make all the walls go down, create a beautiful floor and dance.
Ooh, ah! So you're saying, if I can reiterate, you're saying that our soul, our purpose is that evolution in, or that consciousness move into oneness. Is that the purpose of all of us, or do we each have our own purpose and then we have to be done, don't we?
Well, yes, you each have your own purpose. There's no question about that. But the general purpose is the oneness. And that's what you're all working toward. You're doing it in your separateness right now. And in time, you will find that I'm using this word collective consciousness as humans, not as the universal presence, but this human collective consciousness. You're in a space where more and more of this consciousness will begin to grow, and you'll be able to spread greater and greater wisdom throughout the planet. And that's what's important.
That's wonderful. Now, if people can meet you in Mount Shasta at the 26th mm-hmm. of July, am I right?
Oh, well, yes, you can. That would be a happy place for you to come. I will be in that area the 21st through the 26th, yes.
And people can have more information on your website?
Of course. It would be grand. My little one would be honored to have them come to visit. And they could find a bit of information on Facebook as well.
Well, you're a wonderful, wonderful guest. And so is Terry. And I'm very honored that you joined us today.
I am honored to be invited.
Thank you so much.
We must do this more often.
We would love that. Thank you so much.
Blessings, little one. Blessings.
Blessings to you.
Let my little one come back before we say goodbye.
Perfect. Yes. Thank you. Nice, Terry.
Oh, here I am.
Hi, honey. Welcome back.
Wonderful for you.
Oh, it was very delightful. And also, I like that you and they are so, or he is so practical as well as vaulted. You know, understand what I mean? We need that, don't we?
Yes, and I agree. Oftentimes, people will say that Ashtar's advice is very third dimensional. And I think that's important. It's always wonderful to hear about the angels being with us and the universal presence, the divinity of it all. And that's always nice. But to think that we have choices here that we can work on, whether it's our own individual or how to change the lock on a door.
And it reaches way beyond the moment. Now, I have to say goodbye, Terry, but I'd love to talk with you again. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying thanks for tuning in to Ashtar, Lord and Lady Ashtar, and Paradigm Shifters. Good night, everyone.